Psalm 139, Book of Psalm, chapter 139. How many believe you can't teach an old dog new tricks? Just checking. Several years ago, we had a man in our church named Harry. Most of you remember Harry. And every now and then when I'd say something about age, and he'd look at me and say, "Oh, you're just a young pup." I loved Harry, because then I'd say, "Well, you're just an old dog." And anyways, we had this little camaraderie going. And I've learned something, though. I think I might be the old dog in this group here tonight. But nonetheless, old dogs can learn new tricks. Okay? I got a dog when he was a year and a half old. Most people say you can't train that dog then. And the dog had been confined and had not been able to, he'd learned how to get out. In fact, that's how I got him, because we thought I had a fence that was impregnable. He found a way to get out of there. And matter of fact, I was gone when it took place. He got out and went down on 25th Street, got hit by a car, and laid him up for a little while. And that kind of fixed his meanderings. But in the process of all that, he's somewhere between 18 months and 24 months. I decided I'm going to try to train this dog. And I thought, I'm not sure you can do this at this age. But I found out it is possible. You just have to persuade them a little bit. Okay? I try and teach him to heel, and I'd walk along, and I'd say heel, just hold him right there so he'd stay right at my heel. I don't know if it's supposed to be on the left or the right, but I had him on my right. And he always wanted to go ahead. And I'd say heel, and he'd stay there a little bit, and then, boy, he'd take off and go ahead. And so we was down by the park, down by the river one day, and so I picked up I took my pocket knife out, and I saw this little sapling sitting there, and I go, cut that thing off, and I get me a switch about that long. And it's not very big. But, as you know, it's green and kind of whippy action. And so I just held that in my hand. And every time I'd say heel, and he'd heel for a little bit, and he'd go out there and come right down top of his nose. You know, he knew how to heel the whole time. He just needed a little persuasion. And so I took a new method in teaching him, and he learned. Took me a long time. This was, some of you might remember, I had a dog named Chico. Chico was a golden lab. Golden labs are supposed to be great fetchers. They're supposed to be good hunting dogs. Well, this one wasn't. He was scared when you shoot a gun. I had a guy tell me, every time you feed him, go out there and just beat on something real loud, and after a while he'll think food and with a sound of something really loud. It didn't work. He still come to eat, but shoot a shotgun, he still run away. And never did do too good. Most of the time when we were hunting, he followed me. I was the dog, and he followed me. And if I happened to shoot a bird, that's nice. Never did in his entire life fetch a bird back for me. I mean, that is the pits, Mike. And I couldn't get him to fetch. I'd throw a ball, have to go get the ball. So finally one day, I caught his interest. I had a fishing line, and I had a rawhide chewy. I threw that out, and he got it, and I reeled him in. I never did get him to fetch a ball, but he'd fetch a rawhide chewy. And so over a course of time, it's a little harder to teach old dogs new tricks, but they will learn. Okay? This old dog has learned a few things. I hope I've learned something I can pass on to you tonight. Before we read Scripture tonight, Psalm 139. Did I have you turn there? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight that we have a wonderful privilege to have in our hands this blessed book. Lord, I pray that you might use its tremendous truths tonight to break through our hearts. Lord, you have revealed some things to me. They're nothing new, but they're new to me. And Lord, I pray that You would just teach us tonight, help us to gain, help us to become as a result of that more effective in our lives for others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 139, verse number 11, says, "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." I look at these verses, I marvel. How many think you know what they're talking about? These are tremendous verses. When we look at this, I believe this text allows us to understand that every baby is born of God. It is a creation of the Lord in the womb and ought not to be destroyed. And all God's people would say, amen. Matter of fact, not only are all babies wrought curiously in the lowest part of the earth, but we find here that God tells us that He understands all about us. You see, God made you and He made me unique. Turn and look at the person next to you. Are you seeing a mirror reflection? Huh? It's not that funny, Lindsay. I mean, the person you're looking at, that's not you, is it? You see a difference, isn't there? If you're with family, you probably see some similarities. And once in a while, you'll find a couple of brothers or a couple of sisters that are very nearly alike. But even identical twins have their differences. Isn't that something? As there are plants and animals of all sorts. If I remember correctly, man has classified some 30,000 different animals. We're not even into, I don't believe, the insect world. All sorts, all shapes, all sizes, with seemingly not two of them alike. Right now there's a television series. I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's talking about cute, I think it's called Cute Babies. And it's little puppies and little kittens. And it shows them. And they tag them from the time they're born until they go away with some new owners. And they have a name for each one of those little animals. And there might be 8 or 9 puppies or kittens, but they see differences in each and every one of them. This is nothing new to us, but I want to try to get something across tonight that is very, very important. And that is that God has made every one of us unique. Very unique. God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female, the Bible says, created He them. Though it is in His image, we find that God is tremendously diverse. And God has given to us all different attributes. Somebody said, I've never looked at it, that there are no two snowflakes that are alike. Nor do I believe that God in His omniscience has made any two people alike. It's just not there. You see, God has made this world very interesting. Isn't that something? Matter of fact, no matter what God has made, really He has made it for His glory. Interesting, about a blind man, the Lord Jesus, He made this statement, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents," because they thought, well, this blind man, it's a result of some sin. He says, no, that isn't it. "But that the works of God shall be made manifest in him." We had a little boy around here for a number of years named Dwayne. How many remember Dwayne? Dwayne's in glory. He was, I lost the term, Down syndrome. But oh, how he loved the people of this church. How he loved you folks and a big smile on his face. Why did God allow him to be like that? That was God's business. But he loved God. And it's amazing to me that here God can take what seems like mistakes to us and use it for His glory. I remember being in the hospital with the Shriners up in Minneapolis, and I remember one thing very distinctly, and that is, I remember one family that came in there and they had 3 quadriplegic children. Can you imagine that? 3. And yet as I looked, I saw 3 of the happiest kids. Parents who had a lot of work to do, but parents who God had given them a grace and they loved it. Unreal, uncanny. And yet, God in His wisdom has never made any mistakes. From the New Testament, we learn that God gives to each and every one of us different abilities and different talents. I want to take you to Matthew 25 for a moment. Book of Matthew, chapter 25. What I'm trying to do tonight, brethren, to put it very simply, I want us to understand, first of all, we are all divergent one from another. And if we're going to reach people for Jesus Christ, we can't do it for everyone the same. We can't talk with our mouth to a deaf person and win them to Christ. They can't hear us. All of us are different. Notice chapter number 25, verse number 14. Matthew 25, verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And he gave, and unto one he gave what? 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took he his journey." What's God trying to teach us here? Well, a number of things, but one of the things is that God has given to different people different abilities and different talents. Not any of us are the same. And here, there were those who had more than others. Does that mean it's unfair? Not at all. Matter of fact, God required the same thing of all of them, was simply faithfulness to what He had given them. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 for just a moment. Book of Romans and chapter number 12. Book of Romans chapter 12 and verse number 6. It says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." What's God talking about here? God has given to certain people extra ability, gifts. Matter of fact, when we read other places of these gifts, we find the gift of faith. But are we not all of us to have faith? But to some, there seems to be an extra portion that is given. Interesting indeed. Perhaps there's a reason for it. We'll look at that in just a moment. I'm speaking to people tonight who are very different one from another. There's not a 2 of you alike. But I believe tonight that God wants to use each and every one of you for the cause of Christ. If you're saved tonight, God wants to use you. Do you believe that? God wants to use you. God wants to use you. And some folks have sat there and said, well, how can God use me? Oh, you might be surprised. But God wants to use every one of us. How you do it, what you do for God will never be the same as somebody else. When I was in Bible school, it was kind of funny because all of us kind of did it. And that is, Dr. Malone was our president. He was the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church. And God had wonderfully used him there in Pontiac, Michigan. And so we preacher boys, we'd watch him preach. And one of the things old Doc used to always do, he'd take his handkerchief out and he would play with his handkerchief. And I noticed the preacher boys, when they'd get up to preach, why, they'd take their hanky out of their pocket and they'd start playing with their hanky. I used to think Dr. Malone was bullfighting behind the pulpit. I used to sit clear over here so I could see behind the pulpit. And he'd be playing with that handkerchief the whole time. And there were certain words that he'd say kind of funny. And so all the guys, they'd start saying them kind of funny. We were a bunch of imitators. But guess what? None of us could be Dr. Malone. Nor did God want any of us to be Dr. Malone. But so often, you and I, we want to measure ourselves by others. We look at somebody else and say, well, I'm just not doing it as well as they are. No, you're not doing it the way they are. That doesn't mean you're not doing it as well. The way I preach and the way another preaches can be completely opposite. There are those who are very flamboyant. They jump all over the place. I know a guy, I mean, he's up and down the aisles. I mean, if he walked on the back of the chairs, he would. And others are very mild and calm. Some shout. Some have soft voices. That is not the point. God wants to use you the way you are. Do you believe that? God wants to use you the way you are. I will say this. The talents and the abilities that God has given to you and I are for a purpose in the lives of others, however. And that is, the things that I have, I ought to use to teach you that you might improve. And the things that you have ought to teach me that I might improve. We had a little lady named Lavina. How many remember Lavina? I would stand at the door and I'd have a frown on my face, and Lavina would come in and say, smile. I didn't know I was frowning. And she'd say some little thing to me every time. And so I started doing something because I found out I'd have a better expression on my face if I was kind of humming a tune. And so I'd stand there and just start humming a tune, especially when I seen her coming through the door. I see Lavina coming up those doors and I start, Amazing Grace, how sweet. Because I then would be looking a little better when she came in. And I wouldn't get admonished. But she was trying to help me. I have seen people in this church, as they've given, help me to learn the wonderful thing of giving. Not only of finances, but of self. You see, we're to learn from each other in these areas. So, we look at and we try to measure ourselves by others. We ought not to do that, but we can learn from others that God has given us. Amen? Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 14:5 says, I would that all ye spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. Now notice, he's talking about two gifts, but he says that the church may receive edifying. Here's a couple of gifts that are given. What's the purpose? That the church might receive edifying. A little later in that same chapter, he says, let all things be done unto edifying. And so God has placed each one of us here with our talents and our abilities, our peculiarities, if you please, what? To be a help to others. Amen? Now let's think about this. Are we to always do our best? It's an easy question. The answer is yes. We're always to do our best. Matter of fact, Colossians 23 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." So if we are to do our best, does it not also seem logical to you? It certainly does to me, that we ought to be seeking to improve. Or should we be satisfied with status quo? If God has given us a gift, shouldn't we sharpen it? Matter of fact, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. Shouldn't we hone it? Shouldn't we try to develop it even further? Mindy, you've learned how to play the piano, so quit playing, quit practicing all those things. Just come to church, sit down, don't even worry about it. Pretty soon you lose your edge. You got to play it once in a while at home, too. Yeah. And you learn new tricks on the piano. I don't know what it is. Instead of playing like this, you can play like this and like this. But we are seeking to improve. When we observe the teaching of the prophets, and most particularly the Lord, we find that they use a variety of methods to teach. Basically, they are this. They use the written word. And can we be very specific? The written word of God. You have it in your Bible in front of you tonight. The written word. This is called, this is going to astound you with my knowledge here, visual learning. Aren't you impressed? That's very simple, amen? With our eyes, we look at, we read. With our eyes, we look at scenery, we look at pictures, we look at this, we look at that. We learn visually. There was something else that they did, and that is they spoke like I'm doing tonight. The spoken word. And can I also use words? Oh, this is going to really floor you. This is called audio learning. So we got eyes and ears. God gave us those. We learn through those. Amen? Yeah. And they're wonderful tools. Do you realize tonight there are people who have a very difficult time learning by reading? I wonder how many in this room tonight say, "Preacher, I'm one of those." I admit it. Okay. Yeah. But perhaps you're one that if you hear it, you can remember it. How many hear things and they just go in one ear and out the other, but you can read it? Any of you like that? You like that? Yeah. You like that? Okay. Nothing wrong. You see, did God make you fearfully and wonderfully? Did God make you fearfully and wonderfully? Okay. But you're different than... Okay. Yeah. He made you that way too. So we have these different things. Okay. Some of you, if you were to buy a new computer and you open up the handbook, what do you call that thing? Manual? I never look at them. I don't know all the words in them. I'd rather sit there and start playing with it. But some people, they want to read that thing. They're very, very what? Visual. And so, they're visual, they're audio. Okay? There's another classification, and I see it with Jeremiah particularly. In Jeremiah chapter 12, we find that God told Jeremiah, put a girdle on. That was okay for guys in those days. It doesn't make any difference today because girls don't wear them either. So anyway, I just got in trouble, I think. Hold on to it, Jeff. We have this, and then he said, I want you to take that girdle, go over the Euphrates River and bury it. So he took the girdle, he took it over the Euphrates River, he buried it, and he came back, and God said, I want you to go back now, and I want you to dig that up. And he went back and dug it up, and guess what? How many know what happened to the girdle? If you bury a girdle for a few weeks, what's going to happen to it? Besides being dirty, it's going to start to rot, isn't it? It's not going to hold its shape. It's going to be good for nothing. God used that to teach Jeremiah a tremendous spiritual lesson. You know what God was doing there? God was using, now here is a fancy word. They call it tactile learning. Hands. How many of you, if you had something and you could put it together, you could work with it, you can figure it out? I mean, that's down your alley. You're like that? Yeah. A lot of people like that. So now we've got eyes and ears and hands. Well, there's another one. I hope you can see this one. The Lord Jesus Christ sat in a boat and taught. What were the people doing? Standing? I think some of them probably were. If you were on your feet, how many would just stand perfectly still the whole time? How many might move around a little bit? Yeah. You see, some can receive knowledge when they are moving. They call this kinesthetic. It's a big word, but I just call it foot learning. By the way, in the temple was the same thing. Jesus went to the temple and he taught there. And, I mean, he stands in one place, but all the people, they can be moving around. What I'm trying to say tonight, all of us in this room have one of these types of learning as a stronger one. Now, you who are adults here, you have learned to use the others too. But there are certain things that you are better at. Some of you would be better to hear. It's better for you to get a recorded Bible than to sit down and to read one. For others to listen to it, your mind to wander, it's better for you to sit there and to read it. For others of you to listen to the Word of God, you might be better off getting up and pacing around. What we've done in our nation and in our churches is standardize all of our education. We put it all into one simple little package. And it's basically separated so that those who are audio and those who are visual can learn. That's what most of our schools are about. And we do very little in the area of hands-on or movement. And what has taken place is we have more and more, and this is happening more and more as we standardize more and more in our nation. There are many people writing about these things. We have more and more kids who are successful and have a high opinion of themselves, and those who are failures and don't think they can do anything. When the problem is not the child, because they're fearfully and wonderfully made. The problem is in us facilitating them. So we have smart kids and dumb kids by these standards. When God says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Some of you know I've been going to a doctor. His name is Rock. How'd you like to have that name, Dr. Rock? And he's treating me for peripheral neuropathy. Very interesting man. After a couple of sessions, I was talking to him and found out he had been a veterinarian. I said, oh, great, now I'm going to a veterinarian. And at the age of 48, he retired as a veterinarian. And he went back to school. Though he'd had schooling all through the years, he went back to school and he got his medical degree and is specializing in people like myself. And so I was talking to him about this very thing, and he said to me something very interesting. He says, all of my life I have been associated in education. And he said, one thing has really bothered me, and he says, that is the professors and teachers I have been around. They look at certain individuals and they say, that's a dummy and that's a real smart person. And he says, it just isn't true. He didn't say it this way, but God didn't make any dummies. There are those who are slower, yes. They are different, yes. Can they learn? Yes. If we can just figure out how to do it. I appreciate these remarks so much. We have produced a group of kids and often adults who think they're failures when we have failed them, as we've not taken them to their proper vantage point of learning. If we can begin to realize that those kids who aren't seeming to get it, who's in our classes, we're coming right now to church. If somehow we can begin to see that those who are causing us problems are most likely a kind of learner that needs challenge, and we're not meeting that challenge. I say this without any accusation whatsoever. This is a difficult area. Teaching is not gathering facts and dumping them into the minds of an individual via one avenue. Teaching, brethren, is facilitating the learner that they might receive the information needed. How do we do that? If people learn in different ways, as some of you have demonstrated here tonight, then does it not make sense if somehow we can help those individuals to learn in that kind of respect? What got me really started on this was last fall we attended an AC conference convention down in Kansas City. One of the leading speakers there, his name is Dr. Dell Johnson. He is perhaps one of the most intelligent men I have ever been around. He's hilarious too. At one point in his career, he was at Pensacola Christian College. While he was there, he began to study the King James issue. For many years, the college there had taken the position that the King James was the best, but they accepted other versions. Dr. Johnson began to study it. He dived into that. He went back and back and back. I mean, he pulled out documents. If you'd ever hear him speak, you would figure out this guy pulls out documents from all sorts of sources. And he took all of that and came to the conclusion that the King James Version is the preserved Word of God in the English language. He took that to Dr. Horton and was so impressionable, the school took that position. Am I not right? But they made a little switch. And they took this position. Matter of fact, because they did that, they lost some support. Because there were some who would not accept that. Dr. Johnson, from what I understand, is the guy who did it. I'm telling you that because this guy is one sharp man. He stood in front of us that day and he said this. He said, for me to learn something, I have to be moving. He says, I can't memorize Scripture unless I'm walking. He says, I got to be moving around in order for me to get it. If you saw this guy, I mean, he is a person that's just movement all the time. Before the class, he's up there, he's jittering around. Matter of fact, you walk in, he's, oh, come on up here, this is a seat reserved just for you. I mean, he's just one of those kind of people. He almost makes you nervous. And he said, I have to be moving. I looked at him, I thought, you've got to be kidding. You're a man who's got doctor's degrees like behind your name. I figured you'd be a visual learner. He said, no. He's a foot learner. Got to be moving. Matter of fact, I think he was the one or somebody else said, you know what you ought to do? You got kids like that in your class. He said, get a rebounder and let them jump up and down while they're doing some of their work. We probably have several, but I'm thinking of one particularly of our students right now. Cannot work sitting still. And I've read with this student, and as a student's down, I mean, contortionist. I kind of laugh a little bit because it's a little bit funny to me. But after learning this, used to, I would have been all over, stand still, stand up straight. Not the kind of learner this student is. Mrs. Sandy Dawson is another in another session that had done this three or four times previously, but finally it clicked with me this last fall. And she began to make these learning ways vivid in my mind. As I think of our Savior, I'm reminded over and over how use different means to get across the same message. John chapter 3. Jesus talks to who? Nicodemus. What is Nicodemus? What? A Pharisee. What else is he? Ruler of the Jews. How many say, preacher, I think he probably knows his Bible. Come on, you folks who are dactile and kinesthetic, move your hands so you get in on the action here. Yeah. Nicodemus. What did Jesus want to do with Nicodemus? Tell him how to get saved. What did he do? He spoke to him and he gave him a picture. Ears, eyes. Yes, a mental picture, but it was a picture of a birth, being born again. Amen? Next chapter, chapter 4. What is in chapter 4? Anybody know? Who's our good students here? Remembrances? I'm going to use this in a moment. Chapter number 4. Anybody know? A woman at the well. Was she a scholar? No, not at all. Matter of fact, she was a very sinful woman. What was Jesus trying to do with her? Give her the same message. But he doesn't use the same words, nor does he use the same method. What did he do with her? He said, give me a cup of water. What was he doing? Having her use her hands. She was being involved in it. He then takes that water and through a process of questions and answers, he gives her the very same message. How to get saved. Amazing. Our Savior was tremendous at this. The Lord Jesus Christ arises from the grave. There are two men. What are they doing going to Emmaus? What were they doing? They were walking to Emmaus. They were moving. And Jesus begins to talk to them. By the way, daddies, one of the greatest times to talk to your boys is not face-to-face lecture. All right, son, you're going to listen to me. It's to be doing something. Doing something. Even if it's walking along. How many have ever had a great conversation with somebody and you're just walking along? It can be a facilitator. The Lord used these things. Well, what does all this mean? I believe, brethren, it means we can't just talk to them and expect them to learn unless they are audio learners. Some need to see some things. Others need to do something with their hands. And still others, they just simply, they need some movement as they're learning. Some need a video. They need a picture. Some need to participate, perhaps in role model, role playing, or making of a craft. And others just simply need to move about. Ideally, we could diagnose and place each kind of learner in a specialized class, but for most churches, this would be nearly impossible. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could do that? If we could figure out who all the kids who just need to be movement and buy them all trampolines. Are they running place while we teach? We can't do that. But I do believe we can begin to see that we need to somehow incorporate into every lesson something for every learner. That's what I want us to stop and really look at. This is difficult, very difficult for me. I believe we've become more effective for all of our students. I believe this is something that's very difficult for all of us because we're so prone to our method of learning. Mine is eyes and ears, and so it's very easy for me to do it that way. And to try to place other types of things becomes very difficult. Another thing I have found is that many people don't believe they can teach because they're not an audio or visual learner. And so they don't believe that they are able to teach when in fact God may be able to use you wonderfully. And God has used some of you very wonderfully because you've simply been available to do it. Maybe stepping out of the box just a little bit. Excuse me, I got a visual learner here at the moment. I'm running out of my notes. I used to think that crafts were a waste of time. But I've come to realize that kids who are doing something with their hands, it can become a learning experience when that craft is somehow connected to the lesson. And by the way, do you realize that it doesn't necessarily have to be exactly like the lesson? But it could be something that every time they see it would remind them of that lesson. We call those learning hooks. And so sometimes you see kids come into the church service and they might have a craft and you wonder, how does that go with the lesson? It might be a learning hook. I've seen some of those incorporated by our different teachers. Even the snack, if you do snacks, can be considered a means of learning the truth. We have so many areas. Games, our actions, are no longer time killers. But they can be used for that learner who needs the movement. And they can be interspersed within our lessons. Most of you use these things, but maybe you've never stopped to think just how effective they can have in the lives of some others. We have all these different kinds. I label them foot, hand, ear and eye learners. That's easy for me. Those big words don't match up with my personality. But the more that you and I can seek to use these areas, I believe the more effective we can be in the lives of those, especially those who already think they're losers because they don't hit the standard that we have set. Can you think of a child that's in this church who cannot sit still and listen for more than 5 minutes?
I can.
Yeah. Before we have that child learn, maybe if we have in 5 minutes some kind of movement. I don't know how to do it all, brethren. I want you to rethink. I want you to consider and let God use you. If you could, let's think of this, if you could every week get into the mind and the heart of every child in your class, and I'm speaking to Sunday school teachers, I'm speaking to Master Club leaders, and also to those who work individually or with two or three, if you could get one thing into the heart and the mind of every youngster in 1 year, you could get 52 truths into their mind. You say, but preacher, that's not a whole lot. It'd be better if I got a whole lot into a few minds. I don't think so. Because those who are unchallenged, who cause the disruptions, take away the truth that you are often trying to get into the minds of those who can listen much easier than others. And I'd ask you this. How many in this room tonight do you think you could sit down right now in the next 15, 20 minutes and write down 52 biblical truths? Be kind of tough, wouldn't it? So if we could get one truth into the mind of a young person, whether we have to do it through his feet or his hands or his eyes or his ears, and we bring the whole class and we begin to see some of these kids who think they're losers because they don't do well in school and they come with poor attitudes and they begin to learn, what might do that to their life? Be life-changing. It would be that which wonderfully transforms some things. Matter of fact, if we can reach that whole class with one truth, somehow I believe that thing would bring that class together and multiply it more than we ever suspect. And certainly we would find those kids that seem to be out of control challenged. This is what I know, because I've seen it in you folks. You love these kids that come in here. I've seen some of you with patience deal with little kids. I'll use one name because I have before, Dante. Is he a troubled little kid? But do you know that kid is sharp? We just need to figure out what kind of learner he is.
You say, but preacher, I couldn't put him on a rebounder over in the corner. The other kids would distract him. But I think there's something we can do. I don't know what it is. But some of you here, that's the way you learn. And you know how to do it. What if I could team you up with one of the teachers? You see what I'm saying? God has put us together for a reason. And we have the capability and the ability to accomplish that in the lives of these kids. I want us to really to broaden our horizon. And somehow, I need this as much as you do. Not see these kids as a big problem, but a big challenge. And what glory it would bring to God to see their lives reversed for Him. Amen. What glory that would be. I'll close with this thought. Dwayne had an old pair of boots. They were getting all scuffed up. And he was going to church the next day. You know what he did, Mindy? He went down to his dad's tool shop. His dad was a painter. And he found a spray can of silver paint. You know what happened. He walked in the next day with his silver boots. Proud as a peacock. Nobody in the church ridiculed him. It was to the glory of God. Because he wanted to look good. Was it our standard of looking good? Well, you're not going to catch me spray painting my shoes. But to God, beautiful sight. Tonight he's in the arms of Jesus. We have that challenge. God's good, amen? He made every one of us different. Yeah. All of us learn different. By the way, all of us teach different too. But I need to seek to enhance it, to understand some things, and do our best to improve it, that God might use us. Or to grab a hold of somebody that can help us. And by the way, be willing to be used. Some of you in this room, you don't think God can use you. You might not fit that mold of, you know, you're not the math and science guy, and so you're not going to do well on the SAT. Your IQ is not going to show as great on the IQ test. Because that's what it measures. It doesn't measure our artistic ability. It doesn't measure the ability of an individual to understand deep within inside of them the needs of other people, to have an empathetic spirit. It doesn't measure that. It doesn't measure the poet. It doesn't even measure the writer. But we've standardized it to there. And we tend to do somewhat the same in our church. Let's make our box bigger, amen? Or think outside of it. We might reach some people for Christ. I look back Sunday morning and I saw Rich with his son. And I thought, praise the Lord. Is he different? Little. But is he able? Yeah. Yeah. Are there some who have what we call mental handicaps? What's that mean? They don't think the way we do. Do you know that most autistic children who can't express themselves to a world, most of them are geniuses? If somehow we can learn to help them to speak. By the way, the world of computers has opened some of that up for them. It's amazing. So we got all these kids. You say, preacher, it's an awesome task. Yeah. But the Holy Spirit of God, we sang it tonight. He's the one that teaches us. And He's the one that can use us and help us in all these areas and give us the wisdom to reach those that are in our charge. Amen? God can do that through you. I'm just asking tonight and trying to share with you, it's doable. Father, tonight, work in our hearts. Lord, we thank You for little kids like Dante. Lord, at this moment, I don't know the answer. I think I know what kind of learner he is. I'm not sure how to meet that need, but I'm sure that there's somebody here that does. But most of all, Lord, we know You do. And so, Lord, I pray for those who have this little boy and others, so many like him, that You might give them that wisdom. Oh, God, help them to realize it's more than just talking to. It's seeking to get that word through their hearts and their minds in areas that You have made them. As You, Lord, were so successful in reaching Nicodemus and then that woman at the well, as You spoke with those as they walked along the road, Lord, as You took the blind man and told him to go and wash, that he might have that action involved. Lord, You did these things for purpose. Help us, oh God, to discover these. Lord, help us to reach these, not only children, but adults. Lord, give me this kind of mindset. Help me to learn in this area. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen.